Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We got Wayne Cruz with us. Wayne is Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he's been with us. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. He's one of the guys who's keeping his finger on the pulse of the of what the government is doing to you and me from a regulatory standpoint and on a lot of different levels. And I don't even want to think about what our world would look like without Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you, Jim. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. And I know that, folks, we're going to talk about the telecom, the regulation or deregulation, depending on how you want to look at it. We're going to cover both of those and how that's going to affect your and my small business. But before we get into that, I want to just kind of tie into what we just got through talking about with our good friend Jeff Dopkin. We talked about intellectual property and that sort of thing. You've been working on that a little bit from a regulatory standpoint, haven't you, Wayne?
That's right. And, you know, we face intellectual property issues all across the board now, especially in this information age we're in, because the Internet brought up all of these concerns. With small businesses have always had concerns protecting property.
Right.
Large companies have with regard to research and development. But the Internet brought forth something new, and that was websites where it was easy to reproduce information. And we still haven't resolved the intellectual property issues of whether if you have things on your website that you want to hide or conceal from members only that get copied somewhere else, that becomes a problem. Obviously, the file sharing became a problem for record companies.
Right.
The sharing or the distribution of movies before they're supposed to be available or legally available.
The movie industry is wringing its hands over what's going to happen to their industry. They've seen what's happened to the music industry.
Well, see, the thing is, you can download a song in just a few seconds.
Right.
So that became a concern a lot faster. Downloading a movie still takes you a good while, even over what we call broadband. You know, I almost consider it not to be broadband, what we have now, because it still takes you 20 minutes to an hour to download a movie.
Is that right?
So we're still not there yet. We still have a lot to do in terms of telecom reform itself to make all that work better. But the movie industry is trying to head off the same problem that the record companies have had. And this problem really cuts across the board. You know, a lot of the new kind of frontier industries, whether you're talking about digital content or, you know, or TV shows and the broadcast of TV shows now, or Internet radio and the intellectual property issues that come up there. But new sciences, you know, we were talking earlier just before we went on about nanotechnology. That's not just one example. But new developments in R&D that are more easily replicated than they were in the past because of the cheapness of computing power,
right,
things like that, create intellectual property problems all across the board. And if you go far out, I mean, you think about something like, we always talk about physical property rights. Now we're talking about intellectual property and digital property.
Mm-hmm.
But what about some of the more, even the things that are going to be affecting our descendants? You know, just earlier this year,
right,
Spaceship One launched out of California. Well, what are low Earth orbit rights going to be like,
right,
in low space? So this is some intellectual property, not just physical property, but in a free society, intellectual property and how you properly define it and limit it, of course. I mean, it's not going to be absolute, but how intellectual property rights are defined, just like physical property rights, how those are defined is going to be critical in the future for businesses of all sizes.
Well, and what my goal is on this show, Wayne, is not to make our audience an expert, but to introduce them to the existence of these concepts, of these things that we need to be paying attention to. Number one is making sure that you realize that you are developing intellectual property, and that it's an asset that you have that you've really paid money to create, whether you realize it or not. not. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And that you have to protect that. But on the other hand, because of technology, you also have the ability, maybe accidentally, to rip off somebody else's intellectual property without realizing that that's what you're doing. You're thinking, hey, this is cool. I can have this. Oh, I can do all this. This is great. But what you may not realize is that you don't have the right to do some of those things if that property belongs to somebody else. And so, Wayne, our goal is just to help people begin the process of understanding that they're not in Kansas anymore. This is the 21st century.
That's a good way to put it. You're in cyberspace.
That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Wayne. We're going to come back. We've got a lot more good things to talk about with our good friend Wayne Cruz. He's a really smart guy. He's a VP at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Fred Smith's organization. Fred's been on the show many times over the years. In fact, he was one of our very first guests way back in the beginning. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Hart to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and that's Mark Knopfler on guitar. Wayne Cruz is a pretty good guitarist, and I'm not kidding about that, folks. He is good. He's our good friend and VP of Policy and Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, give us the website, please.
It is www.cei.org.
And, folks, I encourage you to check it out and to find out what this organization is doing. They're working very hard, doing some great work to make sure that the regulations that are being passed that impact our world more than you probably even have thought about are being – some of those could get pretty ugly. And Wayne and Fred Smith and all the guys there at CEI are doing a good job of making sure those guys don't wander off the reservation too much. And, Wayne, I appreciate what you guys do.
Well, the IP debate is a particularly sticky one.
Intellectual property.
You know, we'd looked at this issue in a book called Copy Fights about the debates on both sides.
I'm holding a copy in my hand, folks, of Wayne. Wayne and Adam Thier edited this Copy Fights, and that's available at your website.
You can find it on the Cato Institute website.
That's right.
Adam and I were both at Cato at the time we put that out, but we continue to work together. We just did a piece on this whole issue of the UN attempting to do a power grab over the internet.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. Before we go there, talk to us about what you're working on with nanotechnology.
Well, as you know,
us what nanotechnology is.
Nanotechnology, it's basically a new in some cases, it's some people just cynically say, "Well, we're only talking about chemistry or material science or you know the science of small things." But basically, what nanotechnology refers to is this new cutting-edge science of engineering at the molecular level. That is to make products on a molecular scale. Right now, we're talking about creams and lotions and coatings for tennis racket, fibers for tennis rackets and coatings for materials and tools, but some say that in the future there'll be molecular-sized machines. And the issues we run into here are, what should government's role be in funding nanotechnology? And, you know, we have some skepticism quite a bit toward what government funding does.
Right. You and I are fellow travelers in the terms of we're more of the private sector kind of guys.
That's right. And what you're seeing, though, is, you know, there are a lot of the nanotech venture capitalists here with their cup in their hand looking for Washington to jumpstart the industry.
Yeah, they're making a bargain with the devil, aren't they?
That's right. Well, except for they are. And, you know, there's a defense role, obviously, because of the applications that nanotech can have and, you know, protective clothing and weaponry and even small devices.
Is there a fine line between technology transfer and being beholden to the government?
Well, I think it certainly is because, see, the problem you run into if you're a free market advocate, that means you want the free market and supply and demand to determine what products get created and how they get distributed.
Right.
And you want the free market to have a role in regulating. I mean, the free market does not mean anarchy. It means you have the ability to do lawsuits. It means you have liability standards. Those are standards that emerge in a free market. But when government does regulate, when government regulates, intervenes, and especially when it heavily funds an industry, it supersedes those, because often government will give a liability waiver, or it'll interfere in property rights or intellectual property rights, things of that sort. So you end up with a distorted industry.
Mm-hmm.
So in nanotech, what's happening is the industry's just getting off the ground. It's kind of like, you know, it used to be neat to call everything cyber or end it with .com a few years ago. Now it's nano, you know, calling everything nano.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk is heavy government involvement. We've already created the National Nanotech Initiative, where the government is putting billions of dollars into the industry, which can be a real problem. What we'd rather do, like in any industry in which we want the free marketplace to play a role, which means everybody has a hand in it, small business, medium, large.
Right.
Everybody has a right to get in and isn't subsidized in any way. What we want to do is not pick the, as Fred puts it, Fred Smith here at CEI, our president, you don't want to pick the winning racehorses. You know, if you think of the marketplace as a racetrack, you don't want the government to pick the winning racehorses.
They're not capable of doing that. That's above their pay grade.
You better believe it. It's definitely out of their range. What government should do is improve the track so that everybody can run faster, and that means having a better tax.
Who knows? Who's to say whether the rabbit getting there first is a better deal than the tortoise being more deliberate? Let's move over and talk a little bit about the telecom issue before we get to the internet issue. You guys have written a paper recently on what you call a national plan for reforming telecom regulation.
You ought to get Braden Cox to be on the show too one day. He's the co-author of that. But basically, we're at a crossroads in telecom. You know, in '96, we so-called deregulated telecommunications, but the problem was a lot of requirements were left in that legislation that were never sunsetted. Requirements that required companies to share infrastructure, to share wires. What's happening now is we're in the internet era. That bill, that legislation passed when the internet was very, very new.
When there wasn't wireless.
That's right, and when there wasn't wireless. So now we have all of these options. You know, you still have entrenched telephone companies, but at the same time, you have these new avenues that are taking us around them. You have new infrastructure.
Right. And by the way, when you say entrenched, that's actually code for stranded costs.
I mean,
entrenched might sound, make you know, on the surface, folks, entrenched might sound like a good thing, but the truth is, in the 21st century, it's not. It's a negative. We'll take a quick break. Right back with Wayne Cruz. Here's Lindsey Buckingham to take us out. Listen to this guitar, man. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out Wayne Cruz, C. Wayne Cruz, the initial C, Wayne Cruz, on our website in the Brain Trust, and you can find out all of the interviews that we've done with Wayne over the years are there in archive form. And Wayne, thank you for all the great information that you provided us over the years.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you for having us on. And
always a pleasure.
Hope people enjoy the website and can get some useful information. Basically, we're a regulatory policy group as opposed to doing tax and budget issues. We do get into those, like an internet tax and things like that, when there's a big regulatory impact. But typically, we're regulatory issues.
And that's CEI.org, stands for Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, Wayne, quickly, what's the story on the deregulating the telecom? One of the most interesting things to me, though, is how the telecom companies, let's call them the baby bells to make sure everybody understands who we're talking about, are getting excited about, and when I say excited, I mean in a negative way, about what Google is up to and what eBay and Sky are up to.
Well, you see how everything is changing. I mean, companies that weren't even a part of the landscape back when we deregulated telecom the first time in 1996.
9 years ago.
Well, not the first time, but when we did that major overhaul of the telecom infrastructure, suddenly these new companies are on board that no one knew about at that time. Not only are they around, but they're buying out other properties that are in related businesses, or they're going back and buying old line style companies, and you're seeing kinds of mergers and crisscrossing and interplay that we never thought was possible before. But we're talking about broadband, ordinary phone calls, wireless conferencing, media online. You just saw the Apple TV iPod that came out last week. Whoa. Skype, that you just mentioned, that eBay is buying, is a telephone service that basically operates like the peer-to-peer file sharing networks we were talking about a little bit earlier, where people are doing a lot of illegal file trading. But basically, you download the Skype software, and anybody else who has downloaded it too, you can talk to them as long as you just plug a little headset into the little jack.
Like instant messaging. It's like an instant messaging
thing. And it bypasses the telecom network.
Well, here's the thing that I want to point out, just to make sure people are thinking, you know, they're thinking out of the box enough here. You know, these legacy companies, the people who have the entrenched assets, as you were calling them earlier, which I was pointing out is not necessarily a good thing, you know, they're telephone companies.
Right.
Your communication in the future won't involve a telephone.
That's right. It
10 years from now, 10 years from now, a telephone, it will be a relic.
That's right. You know, sunglasses now have the wireless phone jack, you know, have the wireless phone hooked to one of the stems.
Right. And the point is these new companies like Google and eBay and some of these companies, they're part of the new century. And the telephone companies are part of. They're still in Kansas now. They're trying to get to the new this new century, but they've got all these stranded assets that they own that they have to pay for.
Yeah, they've got a lot of legacy cost that, you know, they still have profitable services there, but what they're trying to do is move into, like, cable companies are moving into telephone calls through VoIP phone calls.
Right. But of course, over IP.
That can be bypassed by Skype, as we were just talking about.
So where's all this going
to... On the other hand, are trying to build fiber out to the homes and start to offer video and other kinds of services so that they can compete with cable and wireless.
But Wayne, I got about a minute. Talk to us about what's the regulatory involvement here in all this?
Well, there are a couple of big issues. One is, what do you do about the rural customers who could potentially lose service and who now get subsidized service? But we see that as a tax issue and as a welfare issue, even. So that can be handled by other agencies. You could give vouchers or you could make other arrangements. But the other big issues is the sharing of infrastructure. You know, a lot the incumbents are required to share services, and some still would like open access to that. And often vice versa. A lot of times, if there's a very successful internet access provider, other competitors want to have access to that network. It's much better to let the marketplace shake it all out. Not everybody's going to get access to it.
They're going to be some big losers.
They work out a deal.
Aren't there going to be some big losers?
Oh, sure.
Are we looking at some telecom companies completely failing?
Well, you know, in a way, you were seeing that with AT&T, but what you're seeing is where companies tend to start to go down the tubes, there can be mergers that can resurrect them or better alliances. Because, you know, we had the...
Wayne, I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry.
It's been great talking to you, Jim.
Thank you for being here. You always have so much to tell us. We're going to have to get back real soon and talk about some other things. Thank you for being here. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen.
My pleasure.
He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.